Today's daf is Bava Basra, daf Kuftes, and we will begin 8 lines from the top of daf Kuftes Amud Aleph. So yesterday we began the 8th parak of Masechtas Bava Basra, parak Yesh Noichlin, which deals with the halachas of Nachlos, the Torah's view on Hilchas Yerusha. So thank you, Yankee, for the intro. But one thing that is very obvious, just from looking at the primary parsha, Bamidbar Perek Chav Zayin, of the laws of Nachlos, and that is, this is a classic example where the Torah Shebiksav and the Torah Shebal Peh, at first glance, don't seem to be aligned. The Gemara says in Masechtas Yevamos, Daf Chav Dalet Amud Aleph, that Rava famously said, B'chol ha-Torah kula ein mikra yoytze midei pshutai, that even though there are many drashas chazal, that at first glance would seem to be mapik, the pasha pshat of the pasuk, but the reality is not that way. B'chol ha-Torah kula ein mikra yoytze midei pshutai, with one exception, the parish of Yibum. In the parish of Yibum, Rava said that if you read the pshutai shel mikra and you understand the sugis in Yevamos, the drashas chazal, you would realize that the chachamim literally were oikar adavim in ha-Torah. They said that even though the Torah shebiksav says X, the reality is going to be Y. I think that the parish of Nachlos may be a close second, where although, of course, like Rava said, ein mikra yoytze midei pshutai, but there are certainly some basic halachas where just based on reading the psukim, if you were to be mavis edra, it doesn't necessarily align with the way the sugyas come out in parshas or in perik yesh noichlin. If you look in the pasuk says that if a person dies, ve'el b'nei yisrael tadaber lemar, ishki yomis, Uvein ein loy, he dies, he doesn't leave over a son. So if he doesn't have a son to yarshin him, instead you should give the Yerusha to his daughter. So it sounds like the pecking order would be son first. If he doesn't have a son, then you give it to his daughter. The main loy bas, what if he doesn't have a daughter? Then you should give the Yerusha to his brother. So it's son, daughter, brother would be number three. Then ein loy achim, what if he doesn't have a brother? Then you should give it to his father's brother. Son, daughter, brother, uncle. Which uncle? Father's brother. What if his father doesn't have a brother? Then you should give it to She'er Yaakov Elav, which we began to see in yesterday's daf, and we'll see better in today's daf, Machloikis in the Gemara, what She'er is. But in most contexts, what She'er is going to mean is the child's father. So based on the Pasha Pshat, in the pasuk, it sounds like if a man dies, the first person in line to Yarshin is his son, the second person in line to Yarshin is his daughter, then comes his brother, then comes his father's brother, and then comes his father. Son, daughter, brother, father's brother, and father. First glance, it seems to be a little confusing why that would be the case, and the Gemara is going to already shtelzach on that. But in terms of what the real halacha is, it's son, daughter, father, brother, and then afterwards we could talk about uncles and grandparents and cousins, etc., etc. The Gemara says there's no person in the world other than the ger who's kikotin shen leiladami that doesn't have a yerush, because somewhere in the family tree, somewhere in this game of Jewish geography, we are going to be able to find a yerush. But again, the pshat in the pasuk seems to be son, daughter, brother, uncle, father. The real halacha is son, daughter, father comes number three, then comes brother as number four. After that, we could start talking about uncles and babas and zaydas, but the reality is that's the pasha pshat. Says on that note, we'll begin the Gemara. So the Gemara was discussing what is mavur in the Torah Shebal Peh, again, not in the Torah Shebiksav, that a person's father yarshins before a person's brother. So if a man dies and he doesn't leave any children, the father is going to come before the brother. And the Gemara said, how do we know that? It's learned out from a drasha. The pasuk says, she'eroi, this last pasuk that we read, v'mein loi, if the father doesn't have any brothers, says the Gemara, she'eroi, who is the she'eroi zeha of? And Malamit, from there we learn, she'av koidem la'achim. So the pasuk that says she'eroi ha'korav elof teaches me that the father comes before the brother. Yochel, I would have thought, yei koidem la'ben, he should come even before his son. Says the Gemara, it says afterwards, ha'korav elof, mi mishpachtei v'yorash oisa, ha-korav elof teaches me that ha-korav koidim. So it's not a mafurish shapasik, it's more of a drasha. Unesatim es nachalosei l'she'eiro is talking about the person that died, its father. Ha-korav elof tells me that even though the father has kedima, but there is an idea that if somebody's closer than the father in terms of kurva, relationship, that person would come before the father. So how do you make sense of all this? The father comes before the brother, but the son who's closer than the father is going to come before the father. Says the Gemara, ve'ema she'era ze'ha'av. Maybe the way to darshan this pasuk is that she'era is referring to the father, and melamed she'ha'av kodem la'achi ha'av. It's coming to teach me not that the father comes before the brother, but rather that the father comes before his own brother, that the father yarshins before the uncle. And the conclusion of the drash would be the yachli yakdim la'achin. I would have thought that maybe he should come before his brother, tamadom yakarev, karev kaidim. Meaning, if it was a mefurish drasha that the Gemara brought that says that the father yarshins before the brother, so then it's checkmate. But it's not a mefurish drasha. It's a very vague drasha. It says, unesatem es nachalosoi v'she'eroi ha-korev elof. And we darshin she'eroi ze'ha'av. So the Torah is telling me that the father yarshins, and not only does he yarshins before another korev that maybe solka daita chamina, you would have thought, comes before the father. So the Torah is giving some mishpat ha-bechayra, some kedima to the father, but then, toich kidei dibur, the Torah says ha-korev elof, which suggests that there's someone that's closer than the father that's going to come before the father. So the Gemara says, how do you make sense of this? The Gemara said, this is the makar that the father comes before the brother. Kiyam l'she'eroi, the father comes first. Before who? Before the brother. Hakarav karavelov, the someone that comes before the father. Who's that referring to? The son and the daughter. So the son and the daughter come before the father, but at the same time, the father comes before the brother, says the Gemara. How do I know? Mechatesi. Maybe let's put different kurvas into this little equation and we'll come up with a different halacha. Maybe when it says the father comes first, it means he comes before his own brother. So the father will yarshin before the uncle. And when it says, kim l'sh'akarev elav, that there's someone that comes before the father, it's referring to the brother. I mean, the son and the daughter for sure, but also the brother. So how do I know the father comes before the brother? Maybe the brother comes before the father, says the Gemara. If you're telling me that the brother comes before the father, and when it says kim l'she'eroi, that the father comes first, it doesn't mean before the brother. It means before his brother, meaning father comes before uncle. For that, I don't need a pasuk. Achia av lo tzrichi kra. That's pasha. Why? Because achia av mikoyach man ka'asu mikoyach av. An uncle's chus to yarshin his nephew is what? It's his brother's son. Look at it from the uncle's perspective. It's my brother's son. Oh, it's your brother's son. That's your yichus. That's why you're a mechitin in this case to be able to yarshin. So if the uncle, the father's brother's whole schus is mikayach the father, mikayach of ko yarsi achiv, does it make sense then when the father's alive that he should be able to yarshin? What's the habamina that the uncle should be able to come before the father? It just doesn't make any sense. So you can't tell me that I need a pasuk kim l'she'eri to tell me that the father comes before his own brother, because it's pashut the father comes before his own brother. For that I wouldn't need a pasuk. For that we can say lamali kras faruhu. Must be kim l'she'eri is coming to tell me some sort of chiddush. The chiddush is that the father comes not before his brother, because that's obvious. It comes before the deceased's brother, for the deceased person's brother. That's already chiddush. Thus, you have the drush over here that father comes before the brother. Says the Gemara, I hear what you're saying. Makes a lot of sense. It makes a lot of sense that it should be obvious that the father yarshins before the uncle, meaning the father yarshins before his own brother, because the whole schus of the father's brother is the father. So how does it make sense that if the father's alive, he should yarshin before the father? But the Gemara says, you know what the problem is? If you look at the Pshuta Yishol Mikra, it's even the opposite. Because what does the pasuk say? The It's then that the pasuk says, that's what we mentioned in the intro. That if you read the Pshut HaYishol Mikra, the order seems to be son, daughter, brother, uncle, and then afterwards father. So the Gemara is saying that it's so pashut that when the Torah says the father comes before somebody, it doesn't mean before his own brother, because it's so pashut that the father comes before his own brother, says the Gemara. Really? If you look at the Pshut HaYishol Mikra, it actually says just the opposite. It says that the uncle comes
Gar before the father. So you certainly can't tell me that it's so pasha that the father comes before his brother, because if anything, you need to be miyashev how you just distorted the Pshuta Shal Mikra. Because if anything, the Pshuta Shal Mikra says that the uncle comes before the Gemara, says the Gemara Kroyesha like a Sidron Ksivi. And the way the Rashbam explains it, I hear that's what the Pshuta Shal Mikra says, but it's so pasha that that can't be true, that it's obvious that that's not what Pashup Shad in the Pasuk means. Because there's no way that the uncle comes before the brother. Why not? Based on the Svara. The Gemara just said, Achia Av Leitzuchi Kro. Because Achia Av Mikoyach Man Ka'asu. Mikoyach Av. Koyav Koyarsi Achia Av. It doesn't make any sense. Either way, bottom line, Maskana of the first Pshad in the Gemara is that although from the Pashup Shad in the Pasuk it would seem that if somebody dies, he has no children, his brother Yarshins before his father. So if he leaves over a brother and he leaves over his father is considered to be more of a karev in terms of nachlis. He would get the Yerusha before his father would get the Yerusha. Chazal and Teresh Baal Peh said it's just the opposite. If a person dies and he leaves over no children, but he did leave over a brother and a father, the father is going to yarsha before the brother. How do I know that? It's learned out from a drasha. The pasuk says, "Unesatem es nachalosoi l'she'eroi hakarev elov." She'eroi ze'ha'ov, the Torah is telling me that the father comes before someone that maybe you would have thought comes before the father. The Torah is telling me, no, the father actually comes before him. Who's that someone? That someone is his brother. At the same time, the Torah concludes and says, akarev elov, that don't think that just because the father comes before the brother, it means that the father also comes before the children. No, akarev elov, akarev karev koidim, that's pashit that the children are going to come from. Says the Gemara, but there was another drasha, another makar to this halacha, that if a person dies, leaves over no children, he leaves over a father and a brother, the father yarshins before the brother. So a man dies, he leaves over no son, so who's the next person to yarshin? Both based on the simple reading of the Torah Shabbat and based on the halacha l'mayis in the Torah Shabbat Peh, after the son comes the daughter. B'mokoyim bas atomaver nachlo mina of. Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yosi said a chiddush, and his chiddush was based on the interesting lashon that the Torah used when it describes the yerusha of a daughter. The Torah doesn't say uvein einloy unesatem es nachalosay labitay, which is what it says throughout the parasha of Nachlis. V'im ein loy bas unesatem es nachlasu le'echav. V'im ein loy achem unesatem es nachlasu le'achi aviv. V'im ein achem lo'aviv unesatem es nachlasu le'sheir ha'korev elof. Unesatem, unesatem, unesatem. The Torah uses the word unesatem, that's the adjective, the verb, to describe giving the Yerusha to the next person in line. When the Torah describes the Yerusha Sabas, the Lashon HaPasuk is Ishki Yomus. Ubein ein loy vahavartem es nachalosoi lebitoi. Why does it say vahavartem es nachalosoi lebitoi? Havartem means you're jumping over somebody. You're going to pass over somebody that you would have thought maybe should have yarshin first. As if to say, if a man dies, he leaves over a son, the son yarshins. If he doesn't have a son, we're going to jump over who the next in kin really should have been from a Yerusha standpoint. And who are we going to give it to? We're going to give it to the daughter. As if to say the daughter really shouldn't be number two. But v'havartim es nachalasa levita. We're going to jump over who it should be, and instead we're going to give it to the daughter. Says Rabbi Yishmael Adrasha, b'makam bas, who is that person that we're jumping over? Who is that person you would have thought comes after the son, before the daughter? It's the father. So you would have thought that after the son comes the father. Kamash Malon, v'havartim es nachalasa levitai, jump over someone, jump over the father, and give it to the daughter. So here's the drasha. B'mokim bas atemaver nachalmanot. It's true the Torah says jump over the father, but the only time you jump over the father is v'havartim es nachalasa levitai, to give it to the daughter. However, v'atemaver nachalmanot, v'mokim achim. But for nobody else are you going to jump over the father? Who is the someone else that you would have thought maybe comes before the father? The brothers. That's how you know that the brothers don't come before the father, but rather the father comes before the brothers. So it's a little bit of a convoluted drasha. What's the drasha? Azu darash Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yosi. It says in the Torah, after the son comes the daughter. But the Torah doesn't just say unesatem es nachalosu lebitei, like it says by all the other people that yarshim. Unesatem, three times. Toich Kedei Dibur of this Lashon V'Havartem, the Torah uses the word Unasatem. Here the Torah clearly wanted to use the word V'Havartem to teach me that when we give it to the daughter, we're really bypassing somebody. Who are we bypassing? The father. In other words, the Torah is saying, bypass the father for the daughter. Says Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, there's one time we bypass the father. When's that time? For the daughter. But in no other context are we going to bypass the father, meaning we don't bypass the father for the brother. In other words, the father Yarish is before the brother, not the other way around. Frate the Gemara of Emo of the Mokam Bas Atamaver Nachlo Minho Achim, V'iyato Maver Nachlo Minho of Afilab Mokam Bas. We're saying that the daughter comes before the father. How do you know that the daughter comes before the father? Because it says, Mainloy then, Vavartem is Nachalos Adabita. So number one, it says son and daughter. But apparently that wasn't enough to prove the point, because you see that we're being moitzi the pshutei shel mikra a little bit. What the Gemara is saying is for sure a raya that the daughter comes next, because it says v'avartem. So if you had a havamina that maybe somebody should come before the daughter, you can't even have such a havamina, because it says v'avartem. The Torah clearly says jump over anyone you may think you should jump over and give it next to the daughter. Says the Gemara, who would you think to jump over the father? Maybe after the son comes the father. Not the daughter. It says that when you give it to the daughter, v'havartem, you're jumping over somebody. Maybe the person that you're bypassing is the brother. However, if there's a father, you would not give it to the daughter, b'makom the father. You'd give it to the father, b'makom the daughter. Says the Gemara, for that, you don't need a pasuk. Or at the very least, you don't need v'havartem. Because if you continue the pasuk, what does it say? And if you don't have a daughter, so it's mefurish in the pasuk that the daughter comes before the brother. I don't need the havartem, the loshen havara, as opposed to nesina, to tell me that the daughter comes before the brother, because that Torah says mefurish in the very next pasuk. So if the Torah says vavartem, and it's coming to teach me a chiddush, that even though there may be somebody out there that you would have thought comes before the daughter, Talmud loyim vavartem, the daughter comes first, who is that someone you might have thought? That is the father. Bottom line is, the halacha is that if somebody dies, he leaves over a son, the son comes first. If there's no son, he leaves over a daughter, the daughter comes second. Who's third and who's fourth? This is where it got a little bit confusing. This is the first sugi in Perakei Shneichlin. Le maskonas ha-gemara, the Torah Shabbat is that after son and daughter comes father and then brother. Not brother-father, it's father-brother. The Pshut HaShem Mikra is not mashma that way. So for that, we'd have to come on to a drasha. What's the drasha? So the Gemara brought two braises. The first braise is, it says in the Torah, V'mein achim la'aviv, u'nesatim es nachalasoi l'she'eroi hakarav elov. She'eroi zeha'ov. And it's coming to tell me that the father comes before someone you would have thought maybe, or at the very least could have made an argument, comes before the father. Who's that someone? It's the brother. Maybe it's this one. Maybe it's that one. The Gemara knocked that all out to teach me again. That's the makar that the father comes before the brother. The second drasha that the Gemara brought is in the beginning of the parasha. It says, then when you give it to the daughter, you are jumping over somebody. Who's that person you're jumping over? Who's the person you're bypassing the father? In other words, we bypass the father for the daughter. As Zu Darish Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, the only time we bypass the father is for the daughter. We don't bypass the father for anybody else. Son, daughter, yeah, but nobody else. In other words, the father comes third. Who would that someone else have been? The brother? So again, two drushes, either from L'she'eri HaKarav Elov or from V'Avartem, Es Nachalase L'Bitoi, the halacha is that the father comes before the brother. Says the Gemara, L'man, the Nafkele Me'Vavartem, according to the man that learns the Mekar, that a father yarshins before a brother from Vahavartem, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yisrael, Drosha, Hai She'er Mayavali. What does he do with She'eroi? Says the Gemara, B'ayelich HaDetanya, he needs it to teach me something else. She'eroi Zu Ishtoi, Melamed Shabal Yerish Is Ishtoi. Different halacha, it's coming to teach me that a husband yarshins his wife. So the sugya of Baal Yerush is Ishtoi, something that comes up in many places in Shas, Machlik is Tanam, whether it's Medei Raisa, or it only works with Hefker Bez and Hefker, it's only with the Rabbanon. So we'll get to that, Mietz Hashem, B'meshach HaPerek. But either way, She'eroi could mean father, and that's clearly what the Tana of this first braisa held. But there is another shita out there, and that is that She'eroi is Ishtoi, it has nothing to do with the typical case. It's talking about a woman that died, who was married, who yarshins her, there's a man lover that holds her husband as a schus tiyarshin her midday rice. What does she'er have to do with husband, by the way? So Rashbam says, she'er ksus fa'inut. You see, she'er in the context of ishus. Either way, she'er is a wish. It says the Gemara, the man, the nafkalim, she'er, the man that learns that the makar, that father comes before brother, is she'eroi. Hai vavartem ayavadoi. What does he darshan vavartem? Mi boile l'chidetanya. Rebbe says, pekula nemer behen nesina. By all the Yerushois, it says, unesatem es nachalase. Vekan nemer behen avara, but by the bas, it says havara. The reason is it's coming to teach me she ein lacha adam she maver nachla mishevet l'shevet el bas. Hayu l'bno bai l'yarshinayis. It's coming to teach me that you should know that when a daughter yarshins, the nechasim that she yarshins are now going to transfer from shevet to shevet. Because ordinarily, being that Yerusha happens within the father's family, mishpachas av kriya mishpacha. Mishpachas aim, ena kruya mishpacha. So Yerusha always happens with the paternal relatives, not with the maternal relatives. So naturally, the estate that's going over me, Yerusha, is going to stay within the father's family, which is within the Shevet. So if, when the Yidden entered Eretz Yisrael, Shevet, Yisachar, Yarshin, whatever they Yarshin, so as long as the natural Sidra Yerusha happened, whatever was in Chelka Yishal Yisachar in the times of Yeshua Benon, you know, you fast forward 1,000 years later, it would still be in the Shevet Yisachar. But there's one way for the Nachla to end up coming out of Shevet Yisachar, and that would be if a daughter ended up Yarshining, and then she died, and her sons Yarshined her, or her husband Yarshined her. So if a girl from Shevet Yisachar was married to somebody from Shevet Zvulun, then she Yarshin, because it was a main loy ben, usatim sachalos alabita. And she gets married, and now she dies. She'era is a wishta. Her husband yarshins her. So there's an element of havara that takes place. That's what is merum is in the word v'havartem as opposed to the word unasatem. Says the Gemara, mimai de she'era ze'av. How do you know that she'era is the father? Dechsev she'era v'ichu, according to the Tana of the first Braisa, that the makar, that the father comes before the brother, is the word she'er. Meaning that she'er means father. How do you know that? Presumably, it's learned from the parash of Arayas. The she'er of vichohi. Eim she'er zua eim. The chsiv she'er imchohi. You find the same lashon she'er imchohi. Amar Rava. Rava said, Amakra. The pasuk says, Mishpachtoi v'yorash oisa. Mishpachas av kruya mishpacha. Mishpachas eim. Eina kruya mishpacha. The chsiv le'mishpachoisam le'vesavoisam. That whenever you find the word mishpacha, it always means the father. Family, it doesn't mean the mother's family. So even though technically your father's family and your mother's family are both family, they're both cousins, they're both uncles in the parish of Arayas, but whenever you find the word mishpacha in the Torah, mishpacha always means your paternal mishpacha, it doesn't mean your maternal mishpacha. And being that the parish of Arayas is clearly referring to mishpacha, the pasuk says, "Unesatem es nachlasi l'sheira akol of elav mi mishpachta v'yorashay." So that's how we know we're dealing with the father's side. We know we're not dealing with the mother's side. So it's true. If all it says what she'era yakar of elav, she'er could be your father, it could also be your mother, because you do find the word she'er in the context of mother. But the giveaway is mishpacha. That's how we know we're dealing with mishpachas av. That's how we know we're not dealing with mishpachas em. So the Gemara now is going to digress into some divrei agado. So we'll learn this Gemara right now. But just before, just to pause for a second and make a little bit of a sikum in terms of what we have. So again, it's a little bit confusing just based on the Seda Advarim, certainly without seeing the psukim in front of you. So we began this morning by saying that the Parish of Nachlas is a classic example where the Teresh of Iksav would seem to suggest one thing, but the Teresh of Apeh suggests something completely different. So in terms of the Teresh of Apeh, which of course is the Halacha. So what's the Seder on Nachlas? If a person dies, his Yarshin, his Kroivim Yarshin, who comes first? It depends on who's closest. Son, then comes daughter, then comes father, then comes brother, and then after that, we're going to see all the different halachas. But basically, it's son, daughter, father, and brother. That's number one. Number two, what emerged from this last Gemara is that there are two important yesoidis that we have to know in terms of how determining halacha. Number one, The pasuk says mi mishpacha. This last gemara that we learned, mishpachas av kriya mishpacha, mishpachas em ena kriya mishpacha. So when you start determining who a person's relatives are, you have to realize that you're only dining the paternal side. You're never dining the maternal side. Mishpachas av kriya mishpacha, mishpachas em ena kriya mishpacha. So it's funny because sometimes you find the yichus of the father is more important. Sometimes it's the yichus of your mother. So what determines if you're a kohen Levi Yisrael? It depends on your father. It doesn't depend on your mother. But what determines if you're a Jew? It depends on your mother. It doesn't depend on your father. So sometimes it's your yichus from your mother that's more wichtig. Sometimes it's your yichus from your father. In terms of Hilchas Nachlas, where the Torah says, mishpacha, mishpacha seh, kruya mishpacha, mishpacha seh, enu kruya mishpacha. The other side, which was mentioned in yesterday's daf, is that as the pasuk said, unesatem es nachlasi l'she'eroi, hakarov elov. And from hakarov elov, we learn hakarov karov koyim. So this is a rule of thumb, that once we get beyond what's mefurish in the psukim, so you're going to want to know, you have a third cousin twice removed, or you have a fourth cousin's uncle's ex-roommates three times removed. So how do you know who's first? Hakarav karav kaidim. So that's the rule of thumb. Mishpacha sav kuya mishpacha. Hakarav karav kaidim. It just came out here from the first daf and a half in the Masechta. So ten l'chachem v'yech gamoid. The dayanim have to figure out where to go from there. It's not easy. But that's basically the basic rule in terms of how to go vayta. But for now, the Gemara just said to Yisoy that mishpacha sav kuya mishpacha. Mishpacha seim eina kuya mishpacha. Freak the Gemara. Is that true? Mishpacha seim eina kuya mishpacha. But the pasuk says vayhi nami besachem Yehuda mi mishpachas Yehuda. Vehu Levi, vehu Garsham. So this pasuk is an excerpt from the parsha of Pesel Micha. So just to have a little bit of a richer understanding of exactly what's going on here, we'll just take a step back and quickly go through one of the most mystifying prokim in Tanakh, and that is Sefer Shoftim Perek Yud Zayin and Perek Yud Ches, which tells the story of Pesel Micha. So Sefer Shoftim is fascinating. You have from Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, Yud Aleph, Tezvav, Tezayin. Those are the prokem that talk about Shimshon HaGibor. We went through them inside, in a veinig, in great detail when we learned Agadah to Gemara's in the first Perek of Masechta Sota. We had a lot of fun with that. Perek Yud Zayin, Perek Yud Ches talks about Pesel Micha, and then Perek Yud Ches goes in already to Pelegesh Begiva. Either way, the pasuk says as follows: He ish mehar Ephraim. There was a person who lived in Har Ephraim, Ushmoi Micha. His name was Micha. He told his mother, the 1,100 pieces of silver that were taken to you, from you, the atolis, and you had cursed anyone who had taken those silver pieces, whatever they were. So apparently, Micha's mother had dedicated a lot of money that she was makdish to Hekdish. Micha stole it. She didn't know that Micha stole it. And she said that whoever stole it, I want terrible, terrible things to happen. So Micha comes and he gives it back to his mother. So his mother was very happy. She said, Baruch b'ni l'Hashem. V'atoymer imoy, I'm skipping. Hakdei shiktashi esakesel l'Hashem yodi. And I want you to know, Micha, that really, I didn't plan on keeping this money for myself. I wanted it to be kodesh l'Hashem. And you know what I wanted to do with it? I wanted to make a pesel with my seicha. Now, the words Pesel Masech, they sound familiar, it's because it's the beginning of Seretz Adibris. You're not allowed to make a Pesel Masech, there's a graven images. But that's what she wanted to do, and she was going to do it for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as if there was some L'Shem Shemaim Cheshbon over here. She says, Micha, I'm giving you the money that you return to me, and I want you to go, and I want you to make a Pesel Masech. And the Pasuk says that Micha listened to his mother, he made a Pesel Masech, added this very large sum of money that he had gotten from his mother. Ish Micha loy beis alikim. He had a beis alikim, he had a beis medrash, a shtibel. Vayas ephod, he made an ephod like the Kohen Gadol used to wear. Utrafim, of the story of Yaakov and Rachel fame. Vayamalias yad achami bonam ahile l'kohen. And he appointed one of his sons to be the Kohen. He was going to be the priest that was going to worship or serve in this beis medrash that he has with this pesach. Vayomer mahem ein melech b'Yisrael isha yosh b'ein avyasen. Pasuk says it was a time where there was no melech, there were no shoftim, so it was a shtickle, the Wild West. Anything that anybody wanted to do happened, and we'll see exactly what he did. This is the pasuk that our Gemara brings. There was a nar, a young lad from Beis Lechem Yehuda. He was mishpachas Yehuda, vahu Levi, and he was traveling. Comes to Har Ephraim, he's daven mincha, he hears that Micha has a shtibel, so he goes now to Micha's shtibel. So he walks in, Micha was very social, he was personable. He goes, can I make you a coffee? Who are you? I'm a Levi. I live in Beis Lechem, Yehuda. I'm looking for a place to live. You don't have to look any further than here. Stay right here. You've arrived at your destination. Because it just so happens that I'm looking for a kohen. I'm looking to hire a rav, or a shkoyvel. I have a base medrash here. I have a pesel. I have a masecha. I need someone to stay here. Not just that. He offers him a salary on the spot. He offers him clothing and food. The Levi decided that he's okay. Vayelach not. He left. Vayelach, he stayed. Vayoyel HaLevi L'Shev says, Vayish Vayhi Nar L'Ke'achem Yibonim. And Micha treated him like one of his sons. Vayemali Micha Siyad HaLevi. Vayhi Lo Yehanar L'Koyen. Vayhi Bebeis Micha. Vayoyemem Micha. Micha said, Ata Yedati Ki Yetev Hashem Li. I see now that Hashem is happy with me. And he's happy with this Pesel U'Masecha that I made with this large sum of money that my mother gave me. You know how I know that? Ki Hoyol Li HaLevi L'Koyen. We're going to need this for this Gemara. Because Hashem brought to me a chashuva, younger man, who should be the rav in my shtibo, and not just that, he's a Levi. The Leviim were, v'loyshe the Levi b'vad, they were the chashuvim in Klal Yisrael. So I have a Levi now to serve. He was very excited. The pasuk says again, v'yom mehem melech b'Yisrael, v'yom shevet adoni b'vachash le'nachal l'shefes. That time, shevet don, and this goes back to the beginning of Sefer Yeshua, they weren't happy with the nachal that they got. So they sent out an emissary, five people, that they were going to go scope out the land to see, meraglim, so to speak, to find a good place for them to settle. So they're traveling through the land of Eretz Yisrael to see if they can find a better place for their shevet to settle. And they passed through Har Ephraim, and they too stopped by Beis Micha Vayalinu Sham. They're with Micha, and they see a child, and he looked familiar. They call him over. Don't I know you? Weren't you from Beis Lachim Yehuda? He says, yeah. He says, what are you doing here? He says, I got a job. He says, really? What are you doing? He says, he's a Beis Medrash here. It belongs to Micha. He has a pesel. He has a masecha. And I'm the kohen. I'm the person. I'm the rav over here. So he said, really? So he says, well, it just so happens that we're on a very important mission. We're in a very important shlichus. We're going to try to find a place for Shevet Dan to relocate. We're not happy with the nachla that the Goyrel gave us. We're not happy with what we got from Yishuv Benun, from Elazar Kohen Gadol. We're looking for a new place to live. And the truth is, we've heard that some of these lands that we're going to have to go through now to travel may be rough terrain, there may be opposition. Yishuv Benun fought real wars in the beginning of time. And we're looking for a bracha, a haftacha, or even better, like if you can look into your crystal ball and tell us, are we going to be matzliach, or are we not going to be matzliach? So the Koyen, this Levi, tells him, I give you a bracha, I give you a haftacha, nice nusach in the pasuk, everything is going to work out fine. They heard that, they go, they continue, and they see that they find the place they want. But in order to be able to conquer that place, they're going to have to fight a war. So they run back home, and they say, guys, I have a place to live. Not just that, but I even have a haftacha from a Koyen, who's a Koyen of this pesel that belongs to Micha. Let's put together a small army. We're going to fight. You're going to see we're going to be matzliach. He takes 600 gibayrim. They all go together, and they're going to go conquer this land that were identified by these five miracles. But on their way, they decide they're going to go for nacha brocha. Guys, before Muhammad, we don't fight wars today like that, but I'm sure people went to the Rebbe before Muhammad. So you go before Shidduch, you go before a war. So either way, they stop off by. They stop off. You get the analogy? Yeah. So they stop off by. Just sometimes you have to connect the dots. So they come back to Micha. They see the Pesel, they see the Kohen, and the Kohen again gives them a Gereza Haftacha. But these 600 Gibayrim weren't like the five Meraglim. They were real Gibayrim. They tell the Kohen, listen here, you're coming with us. He says, pardon? Don't talk. That's what the Pasuk says. You're coming with us. He walks them outside the room, and he makes them an offer they can't refuse. Tells them that I want you to come along with us, and I want you to be our personal Kohen. He goes, per your Haftacha, we're about to win this little battle that we're going to fight, and we're going to relocate in this new area. We need a Rav. We need a Shiva. We need someone that's going to lead us. I hear great things about you. I want you to come along. He agreed to come along. And the Pasuk says they end up being successful. They overcome this opposition. They end up settling. Vayakimu lehem. I'll read the Pasuk inside. Bnei Dan es apasel. And the members of Shevet Dan, these people, they take the pesel with them. They take this Levi with them as well. The Yehoinason ben Gershon ben Menashe, who one of Hayu Kayhanim L'Shevet Adoni Ad Yoim Goloi Saras. They remained there until Shevet Don, until the Saras HaShvatim was sent into exile. So this Pesel stayed there for a very, 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 very long time. Vayosimul hem es pesel micha asha asa kol yimei hayois beisolem b'kshiloi, and they end up living happily ever after. But there's one fascinating, fascinating addition to the story that's not mefurish in the pasuk. So the pasuk begins describing who this kohen was. The pasuk says, "Vayhi nabi beis lechem Yehuda, imishpachas Yehuda, v'hu Levi." So the one thing we seem to know is that he's a Levi. And that's why Micha was so excited when he found him, because the Levium were always the ones that served Hashem. And here, lo and behold, he stumbled upon a Levi. That was something that was very happy. But at the end, the Pasuk describes this person again. The Yoinason ben Gershon ben Menashe, who uvanav hoyu kayhanam l'shevet Adoni. Yoinason, the son of Gershon, the son of Menashe. If you look in the Pasuk, when the Pasuk mentions Menashe, it mentions it with a funny nun. Now if you take the nun out of Menashe, you know what you get? You get Moshe. Say Chazal, you know who this Kohen was? The person that served Pesel Micha. It was none other than Yoinason ben Gershon ben Moshe. Moshe had two sons. He had a son Gershon and then his son Eliezer. His son Gershon also had a son. Who was his son? His name was Yoinason. That's this Levi who was the Kohen. So Moshe Rabbeinu had an Einikol who was the Kohen that served this Pesel Micha. Chazal didn't want to say it b'farhesia, so they said it b'remisa. In the Nach, it's written Ben Menashe, but it's not really Ben Menashe. It's really supposed to read Ben Moshe. The Nun is a Nun Hafucha, whatever you call the Nun. So it's really Ben Moshe. Regardless, that's the basic outline of the story of Pesel Micha. So what does this have to do with our sugya? Because we just said that in Hilchas Nachlus, wherever it says the word Mishpacha, Mishpachas Av Kriya, not sure, Kriya Mishpacha, and Mishpachas Eim Ein a Kriya Mishpacha. Faith, the Gemara, is that true? U Mishpachas Eim Ein a Kriya Mishpacha. Because if the pasuk says, "Vayhinam Beis Lechem Yehuda Mishpachas Yehuda," for who Levi, for who Garsham, there was a lad from Beis Lechem Yehuda. He was from the family of Yehuda. He was a Levi, v'hu Garsha. Fake the Gemara. How do you understand the pasuk? Agufa Kasha. Armit, you said v'hu Levi. Almi v'hu Levi. Sounds like he came from Shevet Levi. But mi Mishpachas Yehuda, and then in the same breath, you said he's from Mishpachas Yehuda. Almi mi Yehuda Kasi. Right? How do you understand Pashim Shana the pasuk? Is he from Shevet Levi, or is he from Shevet Yehuda? Elolav says the Gemara. Must be Davua mi Levi, v'ime mi Yehuda. It must be that his father came from Levi, and his mother came from Yehuda. V'kama mi Mishpachas Yehuda. So what do you see? That even your mother's family is considered your family. Omer Rav Barav Chana Loi, Gavra Deshmei Levi. When really he came from Mishpachas Yehuda, meaning from his paternal side, he was Shevet Yehuda. So what does it mean, Behu Levi? It means his name was Levi. My good friend Levi. That's what it means. It means his name was Levi. Faith, the Gemara, Ihachi, Eibazai, Hainu Dekomar Micha. Then why would Micha have been so excited when he said, Ata Yedati Ki Yetev Hashem Li, Ki Hoyo Li Hatzoyin LeLevi? This is for you, Levi. How do you, why was he so excited? He said, wow, Hashkocha Pratis, I found a Rosh Koil, you know what his name is? His name is Levi. So Bishloima, if he was from Shevet Levi, Gvaldik, he was Zeichet to find one of Levi'im. Their destiny was to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he found a Koyein who came from Shevet Levi. But if really he was from Shevet Yehuda, he had no Sheiches to worshipping Hashem necessarily as the Koyein. Nervous, his name was Levi. He's so excited. Wow, I found someone whose name is Levi as opposed to Chanyanko. That's what he's so excited about. Says the Gemara, in, yeah, as opposed to Chanyanko. This Rabbi Le Gavru, the Shmei Levi. He was so excited that he found somebody by the name Levi, because someone whose name is Levi, he's destined to worship, to be the Shliach Tzibur, to lead Klal Yisrael. Faith the Gemara, v'chi Levi Shemai. But was his name even Levi? V'alo Yehoinason Shemai. His name was Yehoinason. That's the end of the pasuk. Shenema v'Yehoinason ben Gershon, ben Menashe, who uvan of Hayekayanim was Shevet Levi. The end of the pasuk says, who was this person? The rest of the story, he's Yehoinason, the son of Gershon, the son of Menashe, we know is really the son of Moshe. So you see, what his name wasn't Levi. Meaning, he was from Shevet Levi. So when it says Mishpachas Yehuda, it means he's from Shevet Levi, but from his maternal side, he's from Mishpachas Yehuda. So you see, Mishpachas Eim Kriya Mishpacha, Hadra Kusha Leduchte, Amalei, so the Gemara says, slow down. Ulitamech, according to you, V'chi Ben Menashehu, obviously this whole parasha can't be taken too literally. Because was he from Mishpachas Menashe? Gershon Ben Menashe, Valei Ben Moshe, who we know is Ben Moshe, the Chibbe named Moshe Gershon Eliezer, Ela Mitoksha, also can Maisa Menashe. Why did Torah refer him Ben Menashe? Because he did Maisa Menashe. He was Oved Avodah Zarah. Pesel Micha, at the end of the day, even if the intentions were okay, but it was a Maisa Avodah Zarah. Tolak also Ben Menashe. Achanami here too, Mitoksha also Maisa Menashe. The Osi Mi Yehuda, Tolak also Be Yehuda, meaning he wasn't from Sheva Yehuda, he was from Sheva Levi. What does it mean, Mishpachas Yehuda? Mishpachas Yehuda, meaning he acted like someone from Sheva Yehuda. Which someone? Menashe. Where does Menashe come in? Because you see, even in the end of the parasha, we refer to him as Yonason Ben Gershon, Ben Menashe. And why would we get Menashe involved in Pesel Micha? You know why? Because Menashe was Maimetzalim. He did things that he wasn't supposed to do. He was Eved Avodah Zarah. On a very tzibur way, so too, that's what this koyin did, this koyin of the Pesel Micha, and it's for that reason we get Menashe. So again, his name was really Yonason. Who was he? He was the son of Gershon, the grandson of Moshe Rabbeinu. He was from Shevet Levi. That's why Micha was so excited when he met him, because he realized he found a Levi. He didn't just find a Levi, he found Moshe Rabbeinu's grandson. You can imagine how excited he was when he realized who he had stumbled upon. Why does the Torah refer to him as being from Mishpachas Yehuda? For the same reason, the pasuk refers to him as being a grandson of Menashe. He wasn't from Menashe, he didn't come from Yehuda. But Menashe came from Yehuda, and Menashe was Oved Avodah Zarah. He too was Oved Avodah Zarah. We'll just conclude with one last Gemara. Amar Rabbi Yechon Meshum Rabbi Shem Ben Yechoy. Mikan, you see from here, Shetoylin es ha-kalkola b'makulkol. You see from here that we're always toila, kalkala b'makolkol. Meaning, where did Menashe get involved? But once somebody does something bad, he does a maiser rishus b'farhesya, so we sometimes will use him as an example for somebody else that did something similar. Meaning, why are we embarrassing Menashe in this pasuk? You find that idea somewhere else. The pasuk over there is referring to Adoni Yo. Adoniyo was one of David HaMelech's sons. And the pasuk says, he was very handsome, toif toyar, ma'oid, va'usei yolda achre Avshalom. And he was born to his mother after his mother had Avshalom. As if to say, his mother had Avshalom, David HaMelech's famous son, and after Avshalom was Adoniyo. Faith the Gemara, it's not even true. Adoniyo and Avshalom had the same father. They were both David HaMelech's sons, but they didn't have the same mother. Va'loi Adoniyo ben Chagis, va'Avshalom ben Machl. Elo, being that he behaved like Avshalom, who was Meir B'Malchus, Mizmer L'David, B'Varchim Avshalom B'Noi, Avshalom tried killing his father David, he was clearly a Meir B'Malchus, Adoniyo was also a Meir B'Malchus, Taliakos of Avshalom, that's why we throw Avshalom in. Really wasn't the next in kin after Avshalom, two different mothers, Ben Chagis, Ben Macha, but he acted like Avshalom, so we mention Avshalom, same concept. This Koyein of Pesel Micha acted like Menashe, who came from Shevet Yehuda. Therefore, we refer to him as the grandson of Menashe. We refer to him as coming from Shevet Yehuda. Either way, we left out a lot of lumdus. Somehow, I thought we'd get to it this morning. But a lot of lumdus with regard to how a brother yarshins his brother. So some interesting raid. Mem Hashem, we'll pick it up either tomorrow, maybe on Sunday. So we'll get to it sometime over the next couple of days. But for tomorrow, we have a hashtag, really nice stuff, with light raid. The Gemara is going to begin with, how is it possible that Moshe Rabbeinu had a grandson that ended up being the Kohen to Pesel Micha? So this is hashtag rest of the story, hashtag Dvarim Neflon, Adla Ma'oi. Either way, we'll pick it up tomorrow.